We're going to look at Ephesians, but you can first turn to Ezekiel. I'll let you be finding the little book of Ezekiel, the big book, the Old Testament, Ezekiel 36. There's someone out to get you. There's someone out to ruin you, out to destroy you, your mind, your body, your soul, your heart, your marriage, your home, your family, this church. And that someone is you, yourself, self. Everyone by nature loves himself. We love ourselves more than anyone else. That's the reason the Lord one time says, love your neighbor as yourself. Just everyone is out for themselves. We pity ourselves more than anybody. We defend ourselves at all costs, right or wrong. We justify ourselves, don't we? And we're defending a bad man. The Lord, and at the end of Luke 18, the Lord said, if you exalt yourself, you will be abased. But if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. The Lord said, if any man comes after me, first thing, he said, let him deny himself. Deny self. Paul wrote, and we may look at it Wednesday night, 2 Timothy 3. He said, in the last day, perilous times, and the first thing he said is men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's all about men. But now when somebody is born of God, when there's this new creature, and it's so, this is the scripture. This is truth. When this new creature, born of God, begotten of God, born again, our Lord's the one that said that. Born of God, begotten of God, by His Word, by His truth, by His gospel, a new man, a new creature in Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's what happened. Look at Ezekiel 36. Now look at this, verse 21. The Lord said, I had pity for my holy name's sake with the house of Israel. That's His elect. I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen. That was us. Everyone. Verse 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, that you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. I chose you, like Isaiah 43, that you may know me, that I am He. He said, I'm going to take you, verse 24, from among the heathen. Verse 25, I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean from all your filthiness and your idols. I will cleanse you. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Verse 27, I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statute. You dwell in the land, verse 28. Verse 29, I'll save you from all your cleanness. Verse 30, I'll multiply the fruit. And verse 31. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourselves. When God does this work, He causes someone who loves themselves to loathe themselves. You know what I mean. That old man, self, he needs to die. He needs to die. That old man is a madman. He's a fool. He's crazy. There was years ago, a man with a farm and had one son. And the boy had a dog. His name was Shep. He was a sheepdog. He named him Shep. And the boy came in one day to his dad. He was troubled. And the boy said, "Dad, something wrong with Shep?" He said, "He growled at me. Went to feed him. He growled at me. He's never done that before." He said, "And Dad, he's got a wild look in his eye." And he said, "Dad, he's kind of foaming at the mouth." And the father's listening to that. And as he was talking, the father went up over the fireplace, the mantle, and there was the shotgun, double-barrel shotgun hanging there. And he reached and grabbed the shotgun and got it down and looked at the, opened the chamber, looked in it, and with a couple shells. "Dad, what are you doing? Boy, Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "Son, Shep's gone mad. He's a mad dog." He said, "Son, I've got to kill Shep, or else he'll kill you." And it is old man in us. He's got to be killed, or he'll kill us. You don't want to be left to yourself. Christ in you is the hope of glory. All kind of self-help books today, aren't they? Our self doesn't need help. It needs killing. It needs killing. I listened again. What made me want to... Now go to Ephesians with me. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. After hearing someone tell me about their marital problems again, and there's lots of them. Anybody that's married is going to have a problem. And, you know, the divorce rate's about 50% or more. And after hearing someone talk to me distraught over their marital woes and problem, I began to read Ephesians 5, Husbands and Wives. I was going to bring a message on that, but I began to read it all. And it says something for everybody here. Everybody. And I listened again to a message by my pastor that I recommended to you years ago on submission, the key to happiness. You remember that? I listened to it again. And look at verse 21. He said, "This is the key to happiness. This is the key. This is salvation. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves. Bowing to it. Submitting your rights and your wishes and your wants and your desires and to one to another, not thinking of yourself, but others, in the fear of God toward the Lord." And it goes on to say, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." It's unto the Lord. Husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. What's the problem? Self. It's always a problem. Well, what about me? Years ago, a woman was going to leave her home and family, her husband and children. And her comments were, "I'm not happy. I'm tired of making everybody else happy. I want to make myself happy. I serve everybody. I do everything for everybody. I'm not happy." Our Lord, who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, who dwelt in happiness, holiness, harmony, peace, love, joy. And the whole message here is built on this. For Christ's sake, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. He left all that to come down here for who? Who did he marry? Who was his bride? And that's what this scripture talks about. Verse 31, "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife. The two shall be one flesh." This is a great mystery. And I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church, he said. This is what Christ did. Who did Christ marry? Who did he come for? Who did he give himself for? Who did he lay down his life for? Who did all his... Happy? Oh, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Why? For the great love with he loved. Who do you love? Not the righteous, not the good, not the worthy, sinners. No good. They didn't love him. Didn't ask for him. Told him to go back. We don't need you. Didn't want him. Self. He gave himself. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a burnt offering. You know how many times in Scripture it talks about Christ giving himself? Many. Gave himself for our sin. The righteous, the just for the unjust. The righteous for the unrighteous. Gave himself. Paul said he gave himself for me. Paul said, me who was injurious and a blasphemer, the chief of sinners. Why would he do that? Gave himself a ransom. A ransom. Switch places. Take me. A sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. A burnt offering. Take me. All right, go back to chapter 4 that we just read. Talk about self. Talk about Christ giving himself for who? For his people. And he says here, beginning, let's just read some scripture and make a few comments. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. In chapter 5, he says, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as the children of God. He says, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness. We ought to be. Why? Because we are low. Worms. That's what we are. We're not somebody. We're nothing. Meek, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Because there's one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all and through you all and in you all. He's talking to the saints. He's writing to God's people, the church at Ephesus and the church everywhere. There's one. It's one body. It's the family. And like the members of this body, we serve the head, don't we? We take our orders from the head. And every member of this body, my fingers don't do things for themselves. What if your finger said, I'm tired of it. I want to make me happy. That's just not possible, is it? It serves the whole body. And principally, we hold up the head. Head is the glory. Well, Christ is our head, and we're the body. We're all a bunch of little toes, aren't we? Toenails, armpits. Seriously, you're not. It's not me. It's not about me. About him. About me. It's your family. It's not. It's not. It's not I, me, and my. When you got a family, it's not. You're a member of a family. It's not about you. We try to tell our children that they come into this world and we try to get this self out of them. Because we're born with it. Mine. Mine. I do it myself. You know, I know that I'm a sinner and my daughter was born for me and I know she's a sinner born dead and trespassing and sin. And then my grandchildren came along. The first one. Oh, she's just so sweet. I thought, she's so sweet. And she just never did anything wrong. And then the next one came along. All right, now you got some competition. Well, one day, Emma, Sophie and Isabella was sitting on the couch. And I just never seen anything out of Isabella. Just nothing but... All of a sudden, I saw her. She just reached and grabbed something away from something. Mean. Just unprovoked. Just mean. I thought, I can't believe it. I can't believe she did that. She's a sinner too. Rotten. Me. Mine. If we're left to ourselves, we'll kill ourselves. And we'll destroy everybody in our path. This church is not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. And this whole body. And it talked about giving pastors and teachers. And if he's a true pastor and teacher, he has one thing in mind. The glory of God, the exaltation of God's Son, the unity of the Spirit. And if anybody is messing up that unity, the Scripture says, have no fellowship with him. Like a hand that offends, cut him off. Right? If gangrene gets in a part of your body, what do you got to do? Cut it off. And if somebody's critical, if somebody's drawing away somebody from the fellowship, if somebody's making critical comments about the preacher, about the preaching, about the church, about the brethren, all that, those that cause strife and division, he says, have no fellowship with them. Cut them off. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not my church. It's his church. And that's what we're all about, building up one another on this most holy thing. Not tearing down, not separating, not dividing, but uniting. This is about Christ. It's all about him. Everything to be done for that reason. Right? Children are selfish. Verse 14, he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by the sleight of men, cunning, crafting. Paul said with good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the sinful. Let's not be children. He said, be children in malice, but not in understanding. We need to understand. We need wise as serpent and harmless as death. It's about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's church. I got my feelings hurt. That's that self I'm talking about. If you get your if that self gets your feelings hurt, you'll drag everybody down with you. And you'll turn everybody else against everybody else. That's what you'll do. That's what I'll do. That's what we'll do. If God doesn't kill this old man, he needs gone. He needs to be out of here. This new creature in Christ, like Christ, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, long-suffering and patient. That's what this is all about. The whole body, verse 16, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Supplieth what? Maketh increase of every part in love. In love, it says. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, forbearing one another in love. Oh, he said, blessed be God who blessed us, chosen us, that we should be holy and blame, without blame before him in love. Love is the bond of perfection. Love is the maturity. Love. Forgiveness. Like Christ. Love one another. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5. Well, look at chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. All of it. All malice. All. Read on. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What has the Lord forgiven you? He says, if you don't forgive, our Lord said that, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Oh, boy. So, he says we need to be like Christ. We need to grow up, not be little children and understanding in malice, yeah, but not in understanding, not be tossed to and fro, not be easily influenced by others, not be led astray, not be seduced and tricked by good words and fair speeches. It's all about Christ. Building up one another, not tearing down, not separating, striving for the unity of the Spirit and love. In chapter 5, it says in verse 1, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ hath loved us. Now, again, I'm talking to God's people because God doesn't love everybody. You know that? You know that. Most people don't know that.
My dear old mom is pretty old now, and her hearing and her mind's going a little bit. And I went over there this morning. I couldn't get a hold of her on the phone. She had the radio on. It was 8:25. She'd been listening to me, you know. And then it went on through, and somebody else was preaching, talking. And I said, "Who are you listening to?" She said, "You." "No, Mom, our program ended 10 minutes ago." And as soon as I said that, that fella said, "God loves you. He's not mad at you." I said, "Mom, see, I didn't say that. God didn't say that. That's not me. God doesn't love everybody. It's a hell. God doesn't love people in hell. Why does he put them there? Because he loves them. Who needs a God like that? Oh, no. Oh, no. God loves his people. He loves his people. And he sent Christ to die for his people. And Christ came to shed his blood for his people. He said, I lay down my life for my sheep. See, love saves. If you could save someone you love, would you? Yes, you would. God can and he does. He doesn't damn anybody he loves. He saves every person he loves. Oh, yes. Whoever he loved, he's going to save. And he sent Christ to this world to die for their sin. Who? The just for the unjust. The holy for the unholy. The righteous for the unrighteous. The altogether lovely Son of God for a harlot. Yes, that's what the Scripture said. Sinners. For someone who came pure, spotless, Lamb of God, holiness, righteousness, the Son of the Most High God came to this earth and said he was despised and rejected. Kill him. That's what they all said. Every man. Kill him. We will not have this man reign over us. You see, salvation must be by sovereign mercy. Must be by sovereign grace. It must be by the will of God. It must be because you will not believe him. You will not accept him. You will not bow to him. We will not. I would not. I am here because God said, come. I am here because God said, hear, my boy. Because God had mercy upon me. I didn't do anything. He did it all. And he sent Christ. Here's what I'm trying to say. Who did he come for? I was a prodigal son. I was the thief on the cross. I was Mary Magdalene. I was still feel that way. But God sent Christ. Not for everybody. And this is how you know who he did it for. They're convicted of what they are, and they ask him for mercy, and they see their need of Christ, and the gospel comes to them in power and convicts them, and they see that what they are, and they call on God for mercy, and he shows them the gospel of Christ, their substitute, and they rejoice in Christ, and they know that in them no good thing. And why would he come, and why would he do such a thing for such a one, such a worm as without exception, all God's people. And that right there, that and that alone will make you long-suffering, forgiving. That's the only thing it will. Think on things of others. When you realize, I am unworthy, I am the chief of sinners, what I deserve, God gave to Christ. It's the only thing that will make us tender-hearted and forgiving because God is so kind to us. Nothing else will. The law won't do it. You can't grit your teeth and say, I'm going to love somebody. Only the love of God in Christ. The mercy of God. Me, the chief of sinners, spare. And then he talks about submitting. Go on down in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. You know what our Lord submitted to? You know what our Lord Jesus Christ submitted to doing and being by coming to this earth?
He whom angels praise, he whom the heavenly host bowed down to, and he came here to serve. Who? Submit himself. He wrote the law and put himself under the law. And become a curse. My, my. Husbands, look at this. In verse 25. Husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself. Like I said, who did he marry? Who did he come for? Read Hosea. Read the story of Hosea sometime. You'll see. He said, you sold yourself for nothing. Sold to sin. Gave all the glory and the credit to everybody and everything but God. But God, rich in love, sent someone to marry her and show her. Show her. He came for you. Me? Yes, you. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Gave himself for. He sanctified, verse 26, cleansed it with the washing of water by the word to present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That'd be a good title, wouldn't it? Or any such thing. So ought men, verse 28, husbands, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Christ's body was broken. He said, this is my body, broken for you. You know what they did to his body? And he did that for his bride. So ought men to do. He laid down his life. He laid down his joy. He laid down, but he said, for the joy that was set for me. No man, he said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 28, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. You see? No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church nourished and cherished the apple of his eye. We're members of his body, his flesh, his bone. And down in verse 33, so he says, let every one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself. You see? Wife, reverence your husband. Now turn in closing to Philippians 2. Just two pages over, Philippians 2. Let me close with this, okay? Speaking of self, what Christ did to himself for his people. Now, does this gospel mean anything to you? What we've been saying that Christ has done, what we've been reading, does it mean anything to you? His love, his sacrifice, his substitution, his what he did. Verse 1, that's what it says. If there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, fellowship, the Spirit. See, we're all just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. We're all a bunch of nobody. It's not about me. It's not about me. When I'm gone, God's church is going to go right on. It doesn't need me. Or you. Are there any bowels and mercies? Have you experienced any? Have you received any mercy? Any? Oh, are you like Jacob? Jacob said, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth that you've shown me. You keep telling me. Like the child in Ezekiel 16, you know, that he had such mercy upon, is thrown out in the field, and the Lord came by and said, live, and decked it with ornaments and washed it and cleaned it from his filth and dread. And he said, you were beautiful. What'd she do? She started thinking too highly of herself. She started thinking highly of herself. Oh, he had to bring her down again. And that's what the Lord does for his people. Bring. That self's got to come down. He that exalteth himself will be abased. So the Lord, through his mercy and his word, he keeps telling us. He's talking to believers, sister, isn't he? About lying, about, you know, loving, about forgiving. Well, you don't have to tell believers. Yes, you do, dude. Why? Because they got this self in them. Got this old man in them. And all of us need to realize that fella is not, he is out to get us. He's out to get everybody. He's in it for himself.
Saul Mahan needs to die. And I reckon he has in Christ. John, you reckon old John Davis is crucified with Christ? Oh, I hope so. Don't you? Kill him. Be done with him. Put him under the ground. Don't let him back up. Because he ain't nothing but trouble. He's in it for himself. He complains about everything and everybody. And that new man's got nothing to complain about, but everything to be thankful for. That's what he said in Ephesians 5. He said, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God. Everything. That new man says, anything this side of hell is mercy. Anything I have, I don't deserve it. It's a gift. It's grace. It's 100% grace. I don't deserve anything. Thank God for Jesus Christ. That's what the new man said. The old man said, well, now, kill it. Philippians 2 says in verse 2, fulfill my joy, be like-minded, having the same love, one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. He calls it vainglory because we have nothing to glory in. It's vainglory. If we take glory in anything, we're a fool or a vain fool. Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, because the Lord, everything we have is by his grace. In lowliness of mind, verse 3, Philippians 2, 3, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know what we ought to do? We ought to say, surely they don't think thoughts like I did. Surely they don't think about me as I did. That's what it said. Surely not. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this man be in you. Here it is. Which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being God, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But here's what he did to himself. He made himself of no reputation. All men and women want to do is build up their reputation, their esteem in the eyes of people. They want to be famous, rich, and famous. If they're rich, that's not good enough. I want to be famous. I want to be, you know, I might be a billionaire, but I need to be president. Why? I want everybody to think highly of me. He was in the form of God, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form. Read on. Took upon him the form of a servant. The king became a pauper. A servant. Made in the likeness. Now here's humility. Here's condescension. In the likeness of men. You know what it'd be like? For you and I to become a worm. For you and I. Would you become a worm? To go down and save a bunch of worms? Would you give yourself and your life for worms? Would you? Come on. No, you wouldn't do it. You know, Psalm 22, it says just that. It's the Psalm of the Cross. Dan, you know it says just that? The Psalm of the Cross are the words of Jesus Christ from the cross. He said, I'm a worm and no man. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Cried that from the cross. Psalm 22. And he went on to say, I'm a worm. I have willingly, lovingly come down for worms. The likeness, that's the likeness of men. And he went on and said, he'd been found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the humiliation, shame. Here it is. Give me 30 more minutes. But don't worry. We need to sit here and rap for 2 days on what Jesus Christ did. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, Adam had it all. Adam, righteous. Adam, holy. Adam, the Lord was so good to him. God gave Adam everything. Created him upright. All right? Gave him a wife. He had it all. What did he need? Nothing. Everything. Complete. And Satan came along.
You can be, you will. You, it's all about you, Adam. You'll be like God. You don't have to bow to and submit to God. You will be. Satan said, that's what I said. I will. No, you won't either. You serve this old man, you're going to die. Adam, you'll be like God. Adam said, okay, that's right. Who is God? You know, have you forgotten what I was done for you, Adam? Yeah. He died. And that old self killed everybody and everything around him. He died. And he was naked. Ashamed. And man's gotten so bad now, he's naked, not ashamed. There's even a show called that. But the spotless Lamb of the Son of God came down this earth and submitted himself to be stripped naked in the eyes of all these jeering, laughing, mocking, spitting, vile creatures. Stripped him naked, hung him on a cross, and mocked his pain. Would you do that? Would you do that? No, you wouldn't. But God. You see, this is why it's not an offer. It's not an offer. It's not something you want you accepting. No, sir, buddy. Whoever Jesus Christ died for, the Lord's going to bring over them an understanding what they've done to the Son of God and what the Son of God has done for them. He's going to give them an understanding to see that I despised and rejected him. Hated God, loved myself, but God. And God would send his Son to do such a thing like that for me. Oh. Even the death of the cross. Stripped, because Adam was naked. He was stripped, and we were clothed. He was put to shame, so we'll never be put to shame. He died, but we'll not live. He was despised and rejected. We're accepted by God. He was hated by men. We're loved by God. What's that? It's for Christ's sake. Not for your sake. You have nothing to do with it. And you wouldn't have had anything to do with him if God hadn't said, you will love my son. You will hear this. Oh, and so, God hath highly exalted him. And given him a name which is above every name. That's the name of Jesus Christ. Not I accepted Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Your knee will bow. You'll drop to your knees as before a king and a judge and a lord and a master and a one that owns you and one who's had great mercy upon you. One you fear. And your tongue will confess what? I'm a sinner and nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. Unworthy, unworthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Your knee will bow, your tongue will confess. Everybody's going to someday. But God's people now in mercy and love from God, now, right now, see what they are, who God is, what Jesus Christ has done for them, and they bow the knee. They sing these songs. We don't sing these songs because we have to. We don't sing these songs because it's Sunday. We sing them because we love the one who loved us. Because we can't believe how did God love me? We sing that song today. That thou, my God, shouldst die for me. How can it be? While the whole world thinks, yeah, God ought to love me. You want to find that? You want to find that? We'll see. Thank God we found out. He found us. Huh? Anybody? This ain't about me. If this was about me, I'd split hell wide open. And if I bowed to me and served me, I'm going to tear everybody else, including myself. This is about him. It's all about him. Everybody in heaven is there for one reason, Jesus Christ. Everybody in heaven, they're not talking about mama, they're not talking about themselves, they're talking about Jesus Christ. Unto him that loved us. And washed us from our sin. In his own blood. Unto him be all honor and praise and glory and strength and salvation. Unto him. He did that. Every one of us. Right to sit on the front row is a thief on the cross. On the front row is Mary Magdalene. On the front row is Saul of Tarsus. On the front row is a woman caught in adultery. On the front row is a publican. All of them shouting as loud as they can. Salvation is up alone. All of God's people. There's no exception. They know these things. Oh, may the Lord show us ourselves and then show us Christ. Okay. John, come on. Please sing.